Today, we wrap up our Changemaker series. We received over 100 nominations from listeners of New Yorkers who are making a difference in their communities. Each day this week, we've featured a Changemaker, and today we're joined by Felice Kirby from Williamsburg. She's been an activist for over 40 years, spearheading anti-hunger efforts, demanding accountability from the MTA, and until recently, she owned Williamsburg's oldest bar, Teddy's. I'm so pleased she's in the studio with us today. Felice, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. So you have been in Williamsburg a long time, since the 1980s, is that right?
I came in 1979.
So tell us, what was Williamsburg like in 1979?
I came as a newly hired community organizer, the first community organizer on the staff of a great nonprofit that had just beat City Hall, won a victory through community organizing, the kind of work that your last great speaker was telling the world about. And my job was to walk through the neighborhood every day, do research on through microfiche and
microfiche
records. Yes,
wow.
Really the good old days. look at tax records, utility bills, and try to figure out what building was going to be abandoned, what business was going to shutter along some of the most popular avenues now, and visit them in the name of the Old People's Firehouse Incorporated, and try to work with the property owner or the business not to move away, to offer different tools in a community organizer's toolbox, and try and persuade this group of people to stay, because the area was becoming abandoned. There were vacant lots, vacant buildings. There were probably a couple of hundred vacant or underutilized manufacturing warehouses.
And why were people leaving?
There was a tremendous deindustrialization in the Northeast in those decades, ending really with the change of the economy. Partially, local government did nothing to protect and develop the manufacturing and light manufacturing sector, not through transportation, not through land protection, not through jobs. And partly, the inner cities were continuing in this move to abandonment. So the city was closing services. They faced a budget crisis then, as some people may remember, and the strategy was shut down any municipal site that cost taxpayer money. And in this environment, businesses were not flourishing. Property owners were not seeing their property value.
I see. And so was it, I know that Williamsburg at one point was primarily Puerto Rican. Was it Puerto Rican back then?
There's been blocks of groups. Robert Moses, the dastardly developer of public properties, of authorities, in the 50s through the early 70s, cut the neighborhood with the BQE. So you would have a pocket that was Italian-American, a pocket that was Puerto Ricano, a pocket that was Polish-American, Irish. The area where I worked, the north side of Williamsburg, was primarily Polish-American with a small Latino community. North of us, Greenpoint, our allies, was more Irish-American and Polish-American, also with a small Latino community. Southside Williamsburg was very Latino. And it was all facing abandonment, and then it started to change.
Huh, and now it's really changed. So we're talking about one of the most expensive, affluent places in New York City.
Yes. The community movements of the 70s, great nonprofits that still exist in North Brooklyn with wonderful organizers, saved the neighborhood from burning down, from becoming completely abandoned. I actually was paid originally on an arson for profit investigation grant. These nonprofits,
really?
Yeah,
wait,
isn't that interesting? Well, as I said, the properties were being abandoned by the landlords, so it wasn't unusual to overinsure your property. There were no computerized records. So you just buy insurance that's way past the value of the property. Suddenly there's a fire, claim on your insurance. And this activity had been exposed by some other nonprofits in Boston, by the failure of the Lloyd's of London Insurance Group. They lost one desk due to these arson fires in the South Bronx. we feared this was a starting trend in North Brooklyn. So we did investigation as community organizers. It was a very different situation. In that environment, the community groups did a great job of stabilizing and bringing some nonprofit development. And then, as happens in so many transitioning neighborhoods, the low rent became a great lure for the creative community. Artists, musicians, painters moved in, and they were really welcome neighbors because they were not racist. They lived with everyone. They weren't prejudiced against people who were less educated or different color, so they would commingle in the restaurants and bars, but we had no idea how many of them were until they were sort of identified by developers, and the area became advertised as the new Left Bank in New York City, and the development really started marching forward in the end of the 90s.
And so now let's bring us to current day activism and what you're doing with the North Brooklyn Angels, for instance. Can you explain what the North Brooklyn Angels are and how your anti-hunger initiative might be different from others?
As I was describing, gentrification has gone full force in North Brooklyn, probably as fast and difficult on paying rent as it is wherever it's happening all over the world. And in the face of so much change, of affluence, there's still a lot of poverty. There are thousands of families who can't make ends meet. They can't pay their rent and buy food and deal with their children's needs. So a food insecurity movement has been going on among volunteers and the churches and the nonprofits for almost a decade in North Brooklyn. There are a string of wonderful pantries from Greenpoint into Southside Williamsburg, run by Los Sures, run by the Greenpoint Reformed Church, the Ascension Church, Trinity Services. And these pantries provide one day a month, usually, of a shopping bag full of groceries and maybe one meal a week that the community cooks. One of these churches sold a building, and the Episcopal Diocese and, of course, Father John of Ascension Church, together with a great organizer in our neighborhood, Neil Sheehan, put together a plan to have some of that money go towards creating a mobile soup kitchen that could serve food every day and go to the places where hungry people congregate. That soup kitchen truck was also enabled by a wealthy business couple who made a lot of money in our neighborhood and have become real leaders to help build up the neighborhood. So this program was born called North Brooklyn Angels, which is not just about feeding hungry people, and that's where it's somewhat different. It's about engaging the community, the new community, the traditional community, in addressing needs and economic pressure in the area to almost redistribute the resources and problem solve through organizing to address felt needs.
You're listening to Midday on WNYC. I'm Cindy Rodriguez, and I'm speaking with Felice Kirby, Special Projects Director for the North Brooklyn Angels, as part of our Changemaker series. So how do you bring these different groups together, and has it been difficult?
I think that the food insecurity movement is a wonderful opportunity to bring folks together and talk about making change. Yes, certainly, as your earlier speaker identified, you can really organize around any problem and bring people together if you are patient, there's some research, use different skills, but everybody cares about eating and everybody has empathy for people who can't easily get the next meal. And many people enjoy cooking, enjoy giving service. So by having, we have both a truck, the North Brooklyn Angels Mobile Soup Kitchen, this beautiful blue truck that goes out around the neighborhood. And we have a kitchen that is donated by a local church and this business couple, the Brodskys. And we have volunteers cooking in the kitchen and volunteers working on the truck at our five sites. The volunteers are recruited during social media outreach, at various events in the community, And the volunteers come from all walks of life. And in the course of working together, young, tattooed musicians, bartenders, elderly retirees, people who are nurses, young mothers, they commingle in delivering the food, talking about what's going on in the community. We have an office on the truck that provides whatever services are needed, affordable housing counseling, workers' rights counseling, and a community is built up. People talk across generations, across different beliefs, and we move forward with one common goal of addressing this need in our community.
So, you know, you've been in Williamsburg since 1979, you said. So how much of this civic engagement and caring about your community is about being in one place for a long time and understanding its complexities and strengths?
That's a great question. I've thought about that. And I feel as I'm getting older, a desire and a commitment to mentoring younger community organizers. And I think that a lesson I do feel personally is that it makes a tremendous difference to burrow in where you are and to not burn bridges, to build long-term relations with people, even if you're very different and you've had tremendous disagreements about specific issues. You can transcend some of that. You can build trust. You can build support systems if you are seen as kind of a bedrock. You're not going away. You're not here stirring up the pot and then you're going to run away when the bees come out and start stinging. And I felt that when I ran Teddy's Bar and Grill with my great partners. I felt that with the work we do now, that our truck and our goal to feed people, to ally with the other wonderful pantries and nonprofits in our area, is something that's here for the future. We're not just coming to make a ruckus, get rich and famous, and run away.
Sure. So that makes me believe that you're very well known in Williamsburg, and if you were walking down the street, would people recognize you and talk to you?
Certainly, to my children's chagrin, where I live. I live in the building where we operated Teddy's Bar and Grill for almost 30 years, across the street from where I was a community organizer for before that.
Wait, you live above Teddy's?
Yes, yes.
And did you raise your kids above
yes,
Teddy's?
Yes, I did. And walking to the train to take them to public school every morning, they would always have their heads down and hide out on the train platform, and they couldn't wait till the day that they didn't have to go to school with me anymore. But funny now, as young adults out in the world, they're very proud of their family's activism. My husband was an activist in earlier years, and my children are both trying to find their place in the world and do well. I think it's great to have neighborhood. That's what is part of New York. That's part of what kept North Brooklyn intact in the times of abandonment, where many extended families living together.
Did you ever, a lot of people have been pushed out of Williamsburg. I'm sure you've seen a lot of people, lot of your friends and neighbors be pushed out of Williamsburg. Did that ever happen to you? Or it didn't happen, but were you ever at risk of that happening?
When I bought the building that we're in now, there were three rent-controlled tenants, each paying $150 a month. We operate, and I want to say this as a small landlord, a property owner, we operated the building legally and properly under the New York State housing laws, raised rent only as you're allowed to, and got to a place where the building was financially good, and one of our earliest tenants is still there. A landlord does not have to be evicting people and rent gouging to make a living in New York, I believe. And I think that what happened in our neighborhood was really terrible, that the rents were illegally raised and the government didn't act to step in and protect. Now there's some better anti-harassment laws. And there's been tremendous change, which is part of the pressure for the food insecurity movement. We need volunteers. We'd love to have people getting active. Visit our website at northbrooklynangels.org. There's so much good work to do. There's work on the housing front, on food, on education. North Brooklyn is really a great active community, and we're happy to be a portal to connect caring people to what could be effective in the neighborhood.
Well, Felice, you have tremendous energy, and it's really been a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you for joining us. I'm speaking with Felice Kirby. She's a member of the board of directors at Neighbors Allied for Good Growth. She serves on the L-Train Coalition, which we didn't get a chance to talk to. She helped found Brooklyn Allied Bars and Restaurants and is special projects director at North Brooklyn Angels. Thank you so much for joining me.